Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson. And we've been having some issues going on here, but we're up and moving. So we're going to actually start our show off with our fantastic intro. The devil is a liar. He can't keep us from having the show go on today on this fabulous Sunday. So this is the Covenant Cafe. We do apologize for the technical difficulties. We definitely got it running. And welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson.
Expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, this covenant's not in vain. Once the promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praising before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio. So come and listen in. This Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic glazers in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians. Listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Welcome again to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Yeah, this is crazy, man. Technology is just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous, but we broke through it. We broke through it, so we're going to move on.
Once again.
Definitely. So how's everything going with you, man?
Everything, bro. As we were going through that technical difficulty, man, I was sitting here and I'm like, you know, I was kind of rebuking, like, you know, if God gave us the word to speak, we're going to speak it and everything's going to work out. And it gave me a revelation on how the beginning, our beginning, it's not that it really matters. It's how we end it. You get what I'm saying?
Like, oh, yeah.
It's not always how you start the race, but how you finish it. So,
yeah.
It gave me a choice. I could have got up and then, you know, I'm going to go to the store. Or I could have sat patiently to see how this is going to work out. And, you know, the being patient and perseverant, it led us to here right now. So that just shows,
definitely,
like, just through life, how little things are going to come up and happen. But we have to persevere through them.
Oh, yeah. And that's actually true for life, period. You know what I mean? It's,
right.
You know, you start off with a lot of issues, with a lot of troubles, and then at the end, what's going to happen? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Whether you accept your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that's going to help you out,
exactly,
in the end.
Exactly.
Bottom line.
Right, right. That's
so
right.
Let's go ahead and open up with our word of the day.
All right. that's what's even greater about the situation, the word of the day, which was given to me hours ago. But it actually pans out with what just happened and what I just said, and I just thought about it, like, oh, it's not, like, Lord, you're showing up. So the scriptures today, actually, the Lord, we're going to do something a little different in some sense. We're going to kind of move around a bit because I want to touch bases on something. Give me a second. The wind closes. Here we go. All right, so the scriptures that we're going to touch bases on is Ecclesiastes 7:8. Which is first, and then I'm going to hop to 7:10, then I'm going to hop to 9:2, then I'm going to hop to 9:4-8. And all this is going to tie together for a very powerful message that I guarantee is going to hit some head points on the head and touch people. So Ecclesiastes 7:8, it reads, "The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." So, you know, just like what we were just saying about, you know, you can start off on a rough life. You know what I mean? Like many of us in the black community and even in the white community and in all kind of communities. So I'm not even going to discriminate. A lot of us were born in situations where there were, you know, maybe a one parent in the house or no parent, foster care, or being born in the neighborhood that just doesn't show prosperity as far as the ghetto or trailer parks or whatever you call it, your poverty, a level of poverty. You might have been born in that. That might be your beginning. But look what happens when you persevere, when you be patient and you continue to strive forward. A lot of our modern-day celebrities or athletes or even some politicians, they came up in an environment where it looked like they weren't going to make it, where most of the people that you look at doesn't succeed. Like, I came from Compton, California. I was born in Compton, California. And to hear somebody being a gospel artist, or even so to speak, to proclaim the gospel or be inspirational, you know, that's not really abundant. You get what I'm saying? Even in Jacksonville, Florida, everybody thugging, everybody gangbanging. This is what it is. I came from an environment of people that would just go to the club, have sex, smoke weed, drink, slanging, all da-da-da. Straight up. This is what I see. And based off of my neighborhood, this is what I should know. This is what they're saying to me. You know, but it's not my beginning. That's not what matters. We striving for a better ending.
Absolutely.
So this is scripture here. It's showing us straight up. Even Radio Show started today. You know, it was a rough beginning. But I guarantee by the time we get to the end, we're going to have another explosive show, like always. You know, that patience that me and Lamont just had. Me and Lamont could just say, oh, well, we tried. Technical difficulties
exactly.
Once again, but you persevere.
And definitely, and then put on the archive show and move on.
Who are you telling? That easy.
So,
you know, that's not a, we got that out the way. The next thing you want to hit on the head is 7:10. 7:10 says, do not say we were the former days better than these. Why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Now, I'm talking to another group of people now. Another group of people, I'm basically saying, a lot of people, they look back on their life, man, I had it good back then. Now what did I do? Or, oh, man, my life was so much better when I was there. Now that I'm here. Or, dang, I ruined my life because things were going good up until I made this decision. A lot of times people often look back on their life and say, well, the better days were back then. Now I'm stuck here. But the Bible is clearly telling us that's not wisely concerning. That's not a wise inquiry that you are placing in your mind right now. Because for you to really look back, like, things happen. Life is life. Straight up. Good days, bad days, all this stuff. But that is not a wise decision to continue to look back on your life and think that your better days are behind you. So as I share that, to keep that in your mind, I'm pointing that we're going into 9:2, and 9:2 is going to clarify even more what I'm saying. 9:2 says, all things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean, and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath as he fears an oath. So basically what this is saying is, remember last week I was saying in Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says how there's a season for everything. Basically everything happens for a reason. There are times to think this and that is going to happen. So the same thing here, what's in depth about this one is letting us know whether you're good or evil, certain events are going to happen. Example,
exactly.
Whether me being saved or me not being saved, people are going to die in my life. There's nothing I can do to change that.
No, nothing.
Whether
and if
I'm good, and if I could, what would the world be like?
Oh, man. Goodness.
You know what I'm saying? Let's go deeper. Whether you're a good person or a bad person, earthquakes happen. Whether you're a good person or a bad person, people get fired. Good person or bad person, life happens. This is the scripture is showing us. So if we go back to the other scripture, which said, you know, why were the former days better than these? But don't do that because that's not wise. And we look at it, what happened. See, we're just flowing along. All I'm doing is flowing along. What happened, it happened. Regardless of you good or evil, things are going to happen. But that's, I want to clarify everything. I'm not now, before we go forward, I'm not saying, oh, it doesn't matter if you're saved or not saved. You know, things are going to happen. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm letting you know that there are certain events that are going to take place in your life regardless of what you do. Like, you can pray and fast all you want, but if God has already decreed that this particular thing is going to happen, it's going to happen regardless of what you do. All right, now just close. Go ahead. What you saying?
No. Like you said, regardless. Definitely regardless. It's
going to
go down like
so,
that.
This is the point that I definitely want to tie up on. I want everybody to be really be clear on. All right, so we're at 9:4-8, which says, but for him who is joined to all living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white and let your head lack no oil. So basically, you know, just tying everything together, because I'm hitting some points on the head of that God really spoke to my spirit about a particular group of people and what they've been thinking lately as far as why is this happening to me and should I continue going and, you know, stuff like this. And at the same time, it's ministering to me. So I'm not being hard on y'all. I'm being hard on all of us. So the Lord just showed us here in this scripture of how I know particularly, I'm one person that has done it in the past, but I know a group of people that does this. I'd rather be dead. Or let's say that somebody, Elvis or Tupac or any artist of celeb that's died. Man, I wish I was them because, shoot, they're dead now. They ain't got to deal with this. And at least they had a good life. Or looking at it as, I wish I was dead because I can't deal with no more of this. Lord, just take me now. I promise, that was a prayer I used to do. Like, Lord, just take me now because this is hell out here. But the Bible is like clearly showing us how it is better to be a living dog better than a dead lion. It's better to be that person that's going through life, just making it, but is blessed, than to be a superstar who's dead.
Or being a superstar and alive. How about this? Because a lot of superstars going through a whole life.
Or being, right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? Because they
or
definitely
being
go,
a superstar. Yeah. It's better to be a live superstar than a dead superstar. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or better to be a live poor person than a dead poor person. In short, it's better to be onto the living end, because what it's showing us on the living end, you have hope. You have hope for tomorrow. When you're dead, that's it. That is it. That means once you die, you're going to face the king. You're going to face the judge. And there ain't no hope of where you're going. Where you're going is where you're going. Your destination is set. But as we're living, we still have things to hope for. We can still hope for better days. We can still strive to be closer to God and have peace in our heart and to enter heaven's gates when the time comes. We still have things to hope for. But as you're dead, all that doesn't matter. Anybody, the people that's of the dead, they partake in nothing under the sun. That's what the Bible just said. They have no part in what's going on now. So, in short, what the Bible's telling us, it says, go eat your bread with joy and drink wine and be merry of the heart. For God has already accepted your words. So let's be joy. And I'm not talking about get drunk. That's not what the Bible said. So this is what we're saying is to live, people, to live. Persevere. Be patient in the spirit. Your beginning might be rough, but you can have a joyful end if you continue to hope. You're not dead. So since you're not dead, there's something to look forward to. Every day, wake up knowing that something good is going to happen. Every day.
Oh, yeah.
Be thankful for life. I got a lot of dead homeboys, and I got homeboys who ain't even get a chance to repent. I know for a fact, I went to their funeral and I heard a preacher say, you know what, you just talking about they could be in heaven, we're going to see them in heaven. I know for a fact where they at.
Wow.
They don't get another chance now. It's over, straight up. And I thank God that I wasn't with them, because if I was with them, I know where I'd be at too. I'd be right in hell with them. But we're not with them, tormented with them. You get what I'm saying? This is the realness of it. The fact that we have another day of life that we need to be thankful for. We need to be in joy and stop looking back at our past days and all that stuff.
You know, but as being a human and flesh, people fall into that category of looking back all the time.
Right.
Because their present situation is not where they want to be. Or they think back and say, well, if I was doing this, I could have been here or here. But at the same time, you might have been where you think you were, but you might have been in a worse shape than you are at the present time. That road might have taken you a whole different way. You know what I mean? Because a lot of us, you know, been with people, girlfriends and female boyfriends, and they say, man, if I'd have stayed with so-and-so, I might have had a bigger house by now. You might have had a bigger house by that time, but what would you have gone through to get that bigger house? You see what I'm saying? So at the present time, you might be in a small house enjoying.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, we just have to accept where we're at and move forward, because the more and more you look backwards, something's going to hit you in the face because you're not paying attention to where you're going.
That's so true. That's so true. Man, I want to piggyback off of what you said, too, about how, you know, if I would have had so-and-so, if I would have stuck with so-and-so, I would have had this bigger house, or I would have had this and that. And the thing is, you know, the Bible says that God will hold, he's holding back nothing good. He has intentions to bless us. He won't hold anything good from us. So if, for all those who love him, so if he plans on, if he doesn't want to hold back something good for us, so whatever is held back from us, it must be bad. So that relationship that you wish you still were in, because this person was all this and that, but you are no longer in it because God held that back, it's good. Because you don't know where this person might have led you. And I can, you know, I can speak, because today is Keep It Real Sunday. Since the show moved up earlier, we keeping everything real, because that's what we going to do the show, is keep it real. I can keep something real with y'all about, okay, basketball. For me, like, I used to play college basketball. That was my thing. I used to go hard, train dumb hard. Hard. People are, to this day, still mad that I quit playing ball, that I don't play basketball no more. But God revealed to me the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is, you know, when it came down to it, when God held the bat to me, he showed me. God, real talk, I'm keeping real with y'all. God showed me how basketball had became my God. Real talk. When something can alter your emotions, when something, like if I had a bad game, man, I wouldn't want to go out. I wouldn't want to eat. I wouldn't want to do anything. I had a good game. I'm going hard. I'm having a good time, this and that. I'm thinking about how hard I got to work. I'm going hard in practice, this and that. This is what's going in my mind. And if this is clouding my mind, I'm thinking about this more than God. God is a jealous God. So now God is like, you know what? That's your God then, because that's what you're praising and that's what you're worshiping. And if you keep going down this path, you're going to end up in hell. So God held it back because he didn't. So God held back a deal for me. Held back injury. Like, he allowed injuries to come upon me. All this stuff took place just to keep me from going to hell. But look where it's gotten me now. I'm prosperous, way past what basketball would have done for me. So that's the same thing we have to see in life. Like, God may end a relationship, hold back the continuing of a relationship, because it can lead you in the wrong direction. I've seen people, especially in this industry, who they blew up too quick. And they didn't have a proper figure in their life to tell them, no, you know, cocaine can lead to this. Marijuana is a gateway drug. It can lead to that. And now it's people, like people who even in high school, like I said, in this industry, that you would see on the corner, they're dope heads now. Or they're on Unsung.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is their story. They were doing this well, and then they tried marijuana, and they tried cocaine, they tried dope, they tried heroin. Now they found their body in a drug house somewhere. You know what I mean? But, you know, on the other end, we don't see that. We see that, like, oh, man, they blew up. Man, I wish I could have blew up. Man, I work harder than them, and da-da-da-da-da. But, nah, God held you back for a reason, because it was a good thing he held you back.
Well, especially in my case, I'm coming from Detroit, to Virginia area. Detroit has gone downhill. I definitely escaped something, because I knew a lot of people involved in the wrong things. Even when I was in school, I had people come, when I go home, oh man, you get on, you don't have to go back to school, we can get you straight. No, don't worry about it, I got this. You know what I mean? If you're weak-minded and you don't have that spiritual guidance, it's easy for you to fall into a trap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we just we just all have to make sure that we focus on our common goal, and
right.
that's to be saved.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can set your goals of where you want to be at in life, career-wise, spouse-wise, but ultimately you need to find out where you want to be spiritually, because that's
right.
going to matter in the end. Because your spouse, you know, your spouse could be the best spouse ever. You know what I mean?
True.
Husband or wife. But if you don't have God in your life, what does it matter?
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
True.
You know,
true.
Oh, man, I got the perfect wife. She don't leave. She don't cheat on me. Or I got the perfect husband. He don't walk out on me. He, you know, treats me with the utmost respect. He buys me what I want or need. You know, we just have an awesome relationship. But if you don't have
mm-hmm.
God
mm-hmm.
in that relationship, it's not that awesome.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah. And that's,
you know, so,
and what's even deeper, you know, about that is like, how long does that relationship last? How long will that relationship last? It's just too often that I've seen, you know, on both ends of it. Not just that, like, okay, like, you already know, coming up in high school and you know, in college, just that young age group. You know, you want the girls want the guy with the car, the clothes, the money, and this and that. And, you know, and the guys want the girl with the body, this and that. And now that I'm older and I'm mature, what I'm seeing is like, okay, the girls that still want the guy with the money and this and that, when they finally get him, they're so unhappy because he's more worried about money. He's more worried about money, and money is his God. And it's his God because you know something in your God when you say, shoot, I love it. I'm chasing the money. I'm too busy. Got to get the money. When that's all they talk about is getting the money, that's became their God. And if he loves, and the thing is, you're going to talk about the thing that you love most. I mean, straight up, your heart is going to share it. Your heart is going to cling to it. Whatever has dominion over you, you're going to share it straight up. So, you know, in short, like, you know, you hear us, we're talking about God. That's our master. This is our servant. We are the servant of God. This is our master. So if you got somebody that serves God, they're going to follow the rule of God, the rules of God, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, these are the stuff that God is telling us. But money is something that is tangible. The value,
you know,
of it goes up and down yearly.
All the time. You know, I'm going to go to this song, and I was thinking about it. Remember we were talking about Lecrae?
Uh-huh.
The other day, how great this guy is. This
mm-hmm.
is a song called Gravity. The song is monstrous. So, you know, we're going to give everyone a break from our our conversation. But we're definitely going to come back to it. But you guys got to hear this song, Gravity. It is just the most incredible song ever that I've heard, you know what I mean, in a long time. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Liz.
And we're going to go into Gravity, and we're going to come back right after that, and we're going to discuss that. And tell me what y'all think of this all.
Yeah. It's Gravity. Keeps pulling me down. Pulling me down.
Listen, I pen songs for the perishing and parishioners, them hearers and them listeners, the home and the visitors. This is not a game, you can't tame or make it pretty. They say the earth cursed, so our mouths stay dirty. It's mud on the track, a slug in your back. Police have pulled you over with a gun in your lap. And you ain't got the power to make it through this parade. Them workers can't keep the profit, everything here is vain. My job is oppressive, I strive for my blessings. The past is so corrupt, it's hard to ride with his message. Riches destroy the owners, the government think they own us. My onus is to keep the police from riding all up on us, leaving money to kids who spending on getting bliss. Say, what's the point of living just to give it up in the end? And again, all my sin has been pinned to the cross. I know I'm free forever from this land of the lost.
Every time I think I'm flying, I just fall in. So close to touching the sky, but gravity keeps pulling me back down. Forever, I wanna go. Ooh, one day I wanna go.
moment, there was no such thing as truth. I said, if that's the case, then why should I believe you? Murder, money, and mayhem, every place that I lay in. My problems follow suit, I'm tailor made for this, ain't I? It's deep. You wanna go deep, I take it deep. Reality is really just cheap. Your eyes wide open, apparently, but you sleep. And everything you have in your hands, you'll never keep. So why hold on? I flow on to go on. Before long, I float on. Eternal life is what I'm thinking, I'ma bake my hope on. Believe me, easy is irrelevant. The devil want us burning for the hell of it. Elephants in the room say we can't talk about impending doom. What we got for rapping or preaching people out of their shoes is cool. I be that dude we glued to our depravity until somebody free us from this gravity. Fly!
I wanna go. Touching the sky,
but gravity keeps pulling me back down. But I can't stay here forever.
Wow,
that track is dope. That's dope.
Man, come on, man. We're gonna have to get him on the show. We definitely.
Yeah, we definitely will.
Yeah. And the thing is, remember we had this discussion about the reality of bringing people into what we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
We discussed that. And this guy right here is just like the greatest. Definitely. I mean, come on.
He
doing it, man. We definitely got to get him on the show. So what do you think about this song?
The song, it definitely hits the points of what we're talking about. Yeah, God definitely used him to really hit things on the head. Like, it's a our reality is not even a real reality. We're looking at, our eyes open, but we are truly asleep because if you're concerned, we're so concerned about things that don't matter. Because when we die, they can't come with us, and then we got to deal with another life after that, and that's the life that really matters. And nothing that you hold on to things. My mom used to say something to me all the time, which led to another phrase. My mom used to say, closed mouths don't get fed, and which led me to another phrase, which is, it's a closed hand. You can't put nothing in a closed hand. So with that being said, like if our hand is all, we grab stuff and we hold on to it. We hold that for so long, how do we expect God to give us something else? How do we expect something else to get in our hand when our hand is closed the whole time? So we won't let things go. And the thing is, then you perish with your hands closed, you end up dying, and that all this stuff that you held on to this whole time that you were so guarded about, that you were so worried about, all that stuff, when you die, it doesn't matter anymore. So it's like, why did you hold on to it for that long? Why did you cling? Why did you fight for something that does not matter? Why did you continue to praise stuff that God, that really ain't even God?
Mm-hmm.
It's all eye openers, man.
Big time eye opener. And just like you said, when we're, talking about the celebrities, trying to hold on to different things, hold on to their fame. And a lot of times, a lot of people do things to keep their self in that limelight, whether it's a good thing or bad thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you see individuals that may still do drugs. They may pull out incredible stunts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just to keep themselves in the limelight, which is not a good thing. Not at all.
The thing is, too, It's a thing too that you rarely hear about, though. But I understand now. You know, now dealing with it, I understand what's going on more. It's like it's the pressures of life, and if you don't have a relationship with God, you try to find an outlet to deal with that pressure. Like I've heard of pastors, because of the pressure of everything, they drink to keep their nerves together. I've heard of you know, actors that sniff coke to keep their mind stable. I had friends that smoke weed to not deal with their reality. You know what I mean? So that shows that you need a relationship with God to deal with the pressures of life, because it's a pressure. Like you might go in the industry just to have a message, to do an impact, to have an impact on life, and now because of the pressure of you have hit a fame, now it's like, okay, I'm pressured to drop another hit. So it's no longer getting a good message out. Now it's like making the hit. And now the pressure's hit you. Now you're just constantly trying to get another hit. And now you're getting tugged in every direction and all this stuff is happening. Now your mindset is like, okay, you're not really thinking about the message. Yeah, you're going to put a message in your song, but you're more concerned about the hit. Now the pressure's on you. You got to find something to cope with it quick. And we all know when dealing with God, God is moves on his time and not your time. And a lot of times our time is like a microwave. We want it quick, but God is like an oven. So since I'm not getting my piece as quick as I want it, or I'm not getting a word from God as quick as I want it, shoot, I'm finna turn to coke. At least it'll calm me down. I'm finna turn to liquor. I'm turn to weed. I'm finna turn to sex. This is the pressure. This is what people are going through on the outside, on the inside looking out.
Now can we
find on the outside looking in, you'll see that.
Can you put that on the industry, or can you put that on an individual taking on that pressure?
I'm more so on an individual. It's an individual thing. Now, life is a two-way road, of course, because you have things that are pulling on you, and you have things that you're pulling on, and things that you're pushing, and things that's pushing on you. This is, you know what I mean? But I say it on the individual more so because you have to seek. You as a person, like, if I go to hell, judgment is on me. I go to heaven or hell, judgment is on you, the individual. It's not, it's such and such fault because you got in the job, so, they coming with you. No, it's like you stand before the judge. So with that being said, like, you die alone, you was born alone. That's what everybody says. I hear that phrase all the time. So I put it on the individual because it's up to you to seek that guidance, to seek that wisdom, to seek that truth, to seek that connection that's going to hold you in the midst of your turmoil. Because everybody's level of turmoil is different. You know what I mean? For one person, money is their answer. And for another person, is health, a cure to this disease.
Uh-huh.
So it all varies. You know what I mean? So that's why I say more so on the individual. And also you got to realize what you're stepping into. You know, if you're a gambler, if you step into Las Vegas, you can't really blame Las Vegas because that's what Las Vegas does. If you got a problem with gambling, how can you blame Las Vegas that you lost your house when you know that's what it does? This is what it wants to do. You know, the same thing with a whorehouse. If you know you got a problem with sex, why would you step on the avenue where you know that prostitutes walk at and they live on? You can't really blame them. That's where they already at. You step into it, and just like the industry, you know there's pressure on the industry of doing this. It's about money. It's all about money. It's all about money. And if you knowing this, you have to go into and step into with the mindset that this is what's going to come upon you. And if you don't have an outlet or a covering to a connection with God more so, then this is going to happen. You're going to deal with this pressure. And so you got some people that thrive in the pressure, and you got some people that get crushed. Pressure makes diamonds, and pressure bursts pipes. So what road are you going to walk on in the midst of this pressure? So that's why it's more so on the individual.
You know, that's definitely an incredible analogy, because it's the same type of thing on both sides of the fence.
Right, right.
Yeah, because, you know, you got the same phrase, pressure. But what are you going to take on? What side are you going to be on?
Right.
You know what I mean? That's definitely a dynamite analogy. What we're going to do here is go ahead and pay our bills. And we're going to come back to this conversation here on the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Ahmad Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Attention all shoenistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Mike Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Yeah, man. I'm still caught on that analogy. Because you think about it, star status, there's a whole lot of pressure. Although we look at those individuals as, you know, holding the keys, they got all the money now.
Mm-hmm.
They got all the fame. And you look at your status, you're like, oh, man, I'm struggling to pay my bills.
Yeah.
You know, how does that turn out? Like, are they having the same struggles? Are they having the same issues? Or even greater issues.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
It's like, you know, it's like we were saying, you know, turmoil, you know, it comes at all different levels for different people, you know. So for one end, not having money is big to somebody, and, you know, not having a husband is big to another person. You know, it's the same level to them, to each individual. So it's the same thing like, you know, whether it be superstar status or the common Joe, however you want to phrase it, it's still a pressure there. Like, okay, this person may have money and celeb, but they can easily lose it. They are surrounded by people who don't really love them. It's a pressure to do this and that. It's death threats that you don't even know about that happens. The paparazzi, it's a life that you didn't even intend to get involved in. You just wanted to make music or be an actor or whatever it may be. And then on the other end, it could be equivalent to a person who's tired of their 9-to-5 and they live in check, barely paying bills, and you got to have miles and feed, and they just hate life. You know, each person may even, you have the celeb that may want to trade places, that wish they can have their old life back, and the common Joe who wants to switch that life, and come to find out, neither one of them is happy, regardless of what position they're in. So it's like we have to find that inner joy. It's a joy inside of us that nobody can take. You know, Christ Jesus dwells in us. And that's something that's what's going to make us happy. Regardless of what your status is, you can be miserable. You can be miserable at the top, and you can be miserable at the bottom. But you can also be joyful at the top and joyful at the bottom. So it's like we have to find an inner peace inside of us that nobody can take, that no situation can dictate. And until you find that, you're going to be on a wavery end. Like, oh, I'm happy today, sad tomorrow. Joy for the day? I hate my life. You know, that's going to continue to happen until you find that inner peace, that joy, that Christ Jesus that dwells in all of us.
And because a lot of people look for it in different facets, different ways, whether it's the drugs, the alcohol, or whatever. They look for it in different ways. Yeah. You know what? We definitely need to cover our current events. So what did you have for our current events?
All right. So it's funny how everything is kind of much flowing. Recently, a Christian pastor who was sentenced to death in Iran is released. So what's basically going on? A Christian pastor who was sentenced to death in Iran for being, you know, being an apostle was reunited with his family Saturday, yesterday, after a trial in court acquitted him, said the nonprofit group. Pastor Yosef Nardinani, I'm sorry I messed your name up, sir. He was born with Muslim parents, and he converted to Christianity by the age of 19. And, you know, basically what's going on, he was evangelizing. He was pushing the word of God through Jesus Christ. And that's not what's up in the Muslim community. Straight up, no. So he did 3 years in prison. He got arrested, 3 years in prison. And the thing that's crazy is he was sentenced to death. But he recently got out after doing 3 years in prison.
To death?
October 2009,
wow.
He was arrested and sentenced to death. He was recently acquitted, so he's at the age of 34. And let me tell you, this is the stumper right here. And it quotes, and the 34-year-old pastor, he dealt his time because he refused to recant his Christian beliefs.
Wow.
So look how deep it says. He was willing to face a death sentence. Death sentence. You know how many of it, and that's a self-check question. You know, if somebody put a gun in your head and say, hey, say you're not a Christian right now. Would you say you're not a Christian, or would you take that bullet to the dome? And this is what dude said. They put his life on the line. I'm a Christian until I die. And even then, so I'm still a Christian because I'm in heaven with my Jesus Christ. And he was willing to do that. So did 3 years, and he ended up beating it. Ended up beating the case. And basically, they sentenced him. They brought it down to a lesser charge. The charge was evangelizing Muslims. And I saw that, like, wow, that's a charge. You can actually go to jail for evangelizing Muslims over in Iran. So they brought
that's
it down incredible. To a lesser charge. Yes. They brought it down to a lesser charge, and he was released because he served his time. He did his time served in prison. So it's amazing to me, and I commend him. I wish I could say his name properly, Pastor Yosef Nardinani. I'm believing that's what it is. It's spelled Yosef,
mm-hmm.
space. Nardarkhani. That's his name. And, you know, I commend him on being strong in the faith. He's in a place of where it's, you know, it's Muslim based, and he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, nobody liked it. And the fact that it's a charge, it's a crime. And he was sentenced to death, but he held on to the faith. 3 years later, he's released. Time served.
Wow.
United with his family.
That's incredible.
Yes.
I can't top that one.
And what's, you know, what's beautiful about it, it just goes with our message. Like, you know, that was a rocky beginning. That's a rough start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your first year in prison is like, damn, I'm just waiting to die. But you persevere and you hold on to the faith, and then you come out. You come out strong. Like, you come out getting acknowledged throughout the world. Like, you know, this is what happens when you stand with God. God gonna make a way for you to come out of it. Just hold strong
mm-hmm.
in the faith. And he held on and came strong through the faith, you know. So better it was the end than the beginning. Because I can imagine the spit on, the rocks, the taunting. Even, you know, think about your mindset. Like, you got to prepare your mind to die. In your mind, you're getting ready to die. You're just sitting here to die. Nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
So it just shows how we have to be strong in the faith. We got to persevere. We got to hold on. On another note.
Wow. I'm still stuck on that one.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. How do you move forward from there?
Mm-hmm.
That's good news. It truly
that's
is good
news.
So, shoot. Do we want to move forward?
I said, whoa.
I said, do we want to move forward?
Man, I mean, that's some tough stuff right there.
It is. It is. Well, you know, we're keeping it real Sunday, so I do want to move on. So recently, panel recommends approving Truvada to prevent HIV infection. So a drug already approved for treatment of AIDS might one day be approved for prevention of the deadly disease in individuals at high risk. And, you know, the thing to really what tripped me out about this article
is that it's not the fact that this drug necessarily is going to kill it, but it's a possibility to prevent it. And I kind of was like, I'm looking at it like, wait a minute, what are you saying? So this is what I want to share. It says, a U.S. Food and Drug Administration adversary committee recommended Thursday that the agency approve the drug Truvada for pre-exposure. The committee voted 19-3 in favor of approval for prevention of indication for uninfected men who have sex with men, and 19-2 with one abstention for HIV uninfected partners of couples who are partners with that is infected. The committee recommended 12-8 with two abstentions in favor of approving the drug to individuals who engage in risky sexual behaviors that could result in contracting the virus. So basically, in short, to interpret this in another fashion, so you have the committee was basically voting on, you know, on ways that this drug is strong enough to help. So men who have sex with men can prevent this. Is a 19-3 chance that they can prevent this issue of HIV using this drug. It's a possibility they won't get it if they're taking this drug. Partners that are having sex, a partner whose partner is infected and they're having sex with that person taking this drug, it's a 12-8 chance that you won't get infected. It's risky. You know what I mean? It's a 19-2 mm-hmm. for people who are having unprotected sex with people who aren't infected. This is what this drug is basically saying.
Wow.
It's interesting that, you know, they're promoting this. And my whole thing is, you know, straight up, I'm going to give you guys a fact. A fact is 1.2 million Americans are HIV positive, with a rate of 50,000 new cases each year. That's according to the CDC. Yet 20% of those infected are unaware that they are HIV positive. So,
wow.
You know, to be honest with you, and I'm going to just keep it real with y'all, the only way to truly, truly, truly prevent HIV, AIDS, or any STD to get it, the only way truly is to be abstinent. Abstinent from sex until you God has connected you with your spouse, a man and wife meets in marriage. That is the only way, because to be honest with you, condoms rip, condoms bust, and in the heat of the moment, you might not even feel like using a condom. That's just real talk.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, condoms are not 100% accurate when it comes to prevention of the transmission of STDs. They're not 100%. Then on top of that, there's some things that condoms can't protect you from.
That's what they say. 99%.
Right.
That's why it's 99.9%.
Exactly. And condoms can't protect you from everything. Warts, herpes, crabs, stuff like that. Blood. If blood get on you point blank, period. If blood is able to get inside, that's it.
Mm.
So, you know, just to be honest with you, the only way to prevent this transmission of STD, if any sort of STD, is to be abstinent from sex altogether. You know, this is as real as it gets. This is a topic that we definitely have to talk about, especially from the statistics. It shows that AIDS, HIV, is highest in the black community.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
We need to be aware, you know, and I'm talking to the black community, but I'm talking to everybody as well, because, man, I don't want to see nobody suffering from AIDS. Man, it's a horrible sight. Horrible sight, you know. So we all need to be aware, and then we all need to, you know, just being real, man. If you're not married, you shouldn't be having sex orally or any all this sex. We need to really be, you know, cling to God for real. I'm so serious.
You know what? And the thing is, people don't understand that, like, that is like serious. It's
yes.
a serious situation you get yourself into. You know what I mean? Definitely, definitely a serious situation, because if you get that disease, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, they barely have a cure for it. I mean, they don't have a cure for it. So you stuck.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, ladies and gentlemen, just beware of what you're doing. And like you said, the best solution is what?
It's abstinence.
There
from
it is.
Sex. All of it. All forms.
Exactly.
Because, hey, this new generation, well, they find loopholes, I'm telling you. Like, man.
Loopholes.
Head ain't really sex. Ain't like I'm going in there. Nah, that's sex, bro. Anal ain't like I'm... Bro, that's sex, bro.
Exactly.
Man, we were just, no, your genitals touching, dog. You still, because those juices and the stuff, your fluid that your body's emitting, yeah, they can really get inside one another. On the humbug, too, and you don't even know it.
Mm. That's wild.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, let's talk about something that we haven't talked about in about 17 years. Now, this is crazy.
Oh, 17. Girl, go ahead.
17 years the world has stopped talking about this situation, but however, it still goes on under the radar. People still have their issues of what actually happened in this particular case. The O.J. Simpson trial, we're talking about it again. I guess what they're talking about, the gloves. We're not talking about Michael Jackson's gloves. The glove that what they say, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah.
Well, yes, Thursday, former Los Angeles Deputy District Attorney Christopher Darden on Thursday of last week accused Simpson defense lawyer, the late Johnny Cochran. I mean, this man is gone. And now you're making more accusations against somebody that's not even living. But however, that's really dirty. But they said that he manipulated the glove.
Wow.
They said he manipulated the glove by making splits in the glove and the inside of the glove, so when OJ actually put the glove on, it didn't fit.
Okay.
So basically, we're still talking about a trial that's already been taken. I mean, our court system has already been taken care of. You know what I mean? It's unfortunate of what happened. Very unfortunate of what happened. But however, the man had went through a trial. Okay, you guys declared him what? Innocent.
Right.
Under our laws.
Right.
So why are we still discussing this like that's going to change?
And on top of that, he's locked up now. He's doing hard time now.
Hard time for something that he could have prevented was the kidnapping situation. You know, they took
because I'm going to lose track. This is where I'm tripping about. Okay. All right. Times have changed, but it has not changed that much. Now, most of us have access to a TV. So we can turn on, you know, SUV, CSI, Law and Order, The Close. It's so many shows. And, you know, so y'all can agree with me because I've dealt with the court system seriously on a real tip on how when evidence is taken in, it's processed and it's not released to the court until everything is started, like fingerprints, the lymph, web, and all that stuff. They is taken, especially in a high-profile case like that, all the evidence was taken in, hard body, to a point to where it's like, okay, if it's something was to happen to it, we already got it on file, we got it all processed, this is what it is, this and that. We can actually make a duplicate of it if it got that serious. If it's really that bad. So with that being said, this should have came up if it was really that serious about altering any kind of alterations. How can you put it on Johnny Cochran? Because the court already has their process, you know, the process duplicate of it, of everything. Everything is in their files. So now how is it that, if anything, it's the court system's fault, the DA's fault, it's the judge's fault, it's whoever was in charge of anything going down with it. So you really put this on a guy who can't even defend himself right now. And on top of that, I'm trying to, when you saying it, like he put slits in it so it couldn't fit, I'm trying to picture in my mind, if a glove can't fit my hand, I cut it a little bit so I can get my hand inside of it. So those alterations made are going to be, it's going to actually help the case on the prosecutor's end. Because his hand should be able to slip right into it if he couldn't fit in the first place. And now that there's cuts in it, because the cuts actually open it up to loosen it. Now I can see if the cuts made the glove too big and it was just sliding off now. But no, he couldn't fit it. And if he cut it, therefore it should slide. It should have helped him fit in it more.
Helped him slide in it more. But like I said, this is one of those trials that they're going to be talking about for years upon years. Your grandkids, they're going to be like, you know, they're going to have it on the news, something else is going to come up, you know. This guy, but you know, on that other note where he got off on this trial, he got off, but yet he stayed doing things in spite of, wrote a tell-all book. You remember that?
Yes.
I mean, like, really?
I don't remember the title exactly, but it was like, if I were to hypothetically kill her, like some crazy title.
Yeah.
Like that, if I would have hypothetically.
I think it was something to the fact that if I did it, this is how I would do it. I mean, like, why would you write that?
Yes.
And then on top of that, somebody took your property. What is the proper protocol when someone takes your property?
Yes.
Contact the authority. Somebody breaking your house, breaking your car, steal your car. Take anything of yours. You at work. So you come back to your desk, some of your items gone. You go to the supervisor, like, hey man, somebody took my stuff off my desk. You go back and threaten to kill them and stuff. And
he went hard to my man, you know, I just thought it was a meeting between friends and I was just getting my stuff back. Like
and it's crazy. Because people saying, yo, I'm sorry, people say that, you know, hey, he was set up. Okay, let's say yes, he was set up. Let's go with that theory. So that means because he was set up, he doesn't know how to contact the proper authorities?
Right.
So somebody set you up. You walk in a house, right? You know that was your 60-inch TV that you just saw going to the next door neighbor's house.
Right.
You know that. You know, three guys in there that you cannot handle just by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was just one person. So you don't know not to go contact the authorities. And that's
in OJ's defense. In his defense now. I ain't Johnny, though, but I'm just saying. If I were him and I went through some high-profile case like that and people still want my head and then I drop a book, that if I would have hypothetically killed her, this is what I would have did. And I know everybody's mad, especially the media. And every time I turn around, I'm golfing, the media's there. I'm at the club, the media's there. I know for a fact I'm not really favorable especially among the white community, as well as the authority. And in this case, the authority is, you know, is more so in the white community in this end. Therefore, calling the police might not help me out just because I know they hate me already. So I'm going to take matters in my own hand. Now, is it smart? No, I'm not saying it's smart, but I'm just saying in his defense, I understand.
That's funny. In his defense, I understand.
I understand.
Yeah. But I guess you have to look at it the same way, too, because you might your mind take over. Because we already know he wasn't the most subtle person that we know of.
No.
But his mind kicked in and he was like, look, I'm getting my stuff back. You know what I mean?
That.
I'm getting my stuff back. But, man, you know what? We're going to leave OJ alone. He's sitting in jail. He probably even listening to our broadcast.
He might be.
Man, get your head. Get your head right. So when you get out, man, get your head right. Let's go on to something even more stranger.
Okay.
This is very strange. This California homeless man has been convicted of strangling, let me tell you, a brown pelican to death near the Malibu Pier.
Come on.
Yes.
News? Go ahead.
Yes. Police say that Sergio Alvarez, 30, initially said he found the bird already dead. On later, he then allegedly admitted that he killed the pelican because he was hungry and hadn't been able to catch any fish. A passerby approached the sheriff deputy on the evening of August 22nd, saying that he spotted a man choking a pelican. Witnesses said Alvarez had his hands around the pelican's throat and that the animal was flapping its wings in distress before going completely limp. Now, this is according to Los Angeles Times. Now, Alvarez was arrested and booked into jail on a $20,000 bail. Now, on this past Friday, he pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor charge of animal cruelty to a bird and was sentenced 60 days in jail and 1 year's probation, according to the Associated Press. While brown pelicans are no longer considered endangered, they are a fully protected species in California.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
What a turn of events. You go fishing. You can't catch any fish. You get ticked off. So you decide to get a bird and choke it. And now you're going to jail
That's
for it.
That's a cartoon. That is so cartoonish. Oh,
60 days in jail. And you know how long 60 days in jail? Have you never been in jail? I've never been there. I've known people that's been. And then a year of probation. So that means this man has to walk thin ice because he was hungry and he wanted to choke a pelican.
Can you picture that? Choking a pelican out?
Wow.
And it's like in 60 days in jail, like, you know, 60 days of life is like, okay, that's too much. But 60 days in jail, real talk, I have friends, just like in movies, that be on some old, man, I was in there 5 years, 2 minutes, 2 million hours, 300 minutes, and seconds, you know, like real talk. So it's like, if you count it that much, you know, from what I'm hearing, jail is not what's up. Any amount of time is not what's up. It's like forever.
Man, that's crazy. And on top of that, the $20,000 bond.
For choking a bird.
$20,000. Wow. Okay, let's move on. I'm going to move on to something even a little bit wilder. This young lady by the name of Marlene Swart, they were in South Africa searching for, they were on a safari, okay? Now, they were looking for lions and stuff. Oh, just in case, you, ladies and gentlemen, if you hear a lot of noise in the background, I'm outside because it's so nice. I'm sorry I had to change the subject because there's a lot of ambient sounds going on around me. And so I'm enjoying a nice sunny day. It's about 85. So I said I wanted to go outside and talk to you guys. But anyway, it's not like I'm on a safari or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while they're on the safari, they were looking for the lion, but they could not find a lion. But guess what they found? A python. They found a python, 16-foot python. And once they saw the python, they went to their car. They looked out. They didn't see the python any longer. And to come to find out, they was hearing a hissing noise. They didn't know where it was at. They found the python wrapped up in the engine once they lift off the hood. Crazy. I can't tell you what I would do if I saw a 16-foot python crawl up in my engine. Crazy, crazy stuff here, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the weird news for today. But the weirdest news goes out to my man Alvarez. He was hungry. He wanted something to eat. He couldn't get anything to eat. He saw a pelican. He said, hey, it might taste like chicken. So he tried.
What was a pelican thinking? Like, you know, as a pelican, they run, like fly away. But he actually let the human walk up on him. Like, he probably thought it was safe.
But he didn't believe it because he was like, okay, this guy's getting too close to me.
Yeah.
So I don't even know. And then when he grabbed him, I mean, like, wow. That's amazing, man. Well, that, like I said, that's the weird news for today. What we're going to do is go into a song, and we're going to come back to Poetic Corner. and your man, Poetic Lace, is going to lay something on us. It's always, always. I know you got something prepared. Definitely.
I do.
So what we're going to do is get into 2103 Incredible here on the Covenant Cafe.
So incredible. So incredible to me.
Imagining life, how did I get here? How do I stay? When it ends, what will you say? Engulfed in the fire, submerged by the flood, I'm nestled in your love. That's so incredible.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the Covenant Cafe. Your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Poetic Lace. And guess what we got for you guys? The
This is the D Poetry Spot. And I'm Isis, the goddess. of poetry. Flow it free into the universe. Take the wind out of tongue and speak new languages. Leave feeling its freedom ringing in your soul. Flow it freely. No, leave that which prohibits you to be anything else but free flowing in the breeze. Flow it free until your conscious freezes with zest and less stress to confine its motionless mind, dimming light till you are blind. No, let's rewind. Go back in time when it would only cost a penny for your thoughts. Now, it's a dime. Flow it free. Do not be reckless and intertwined with bottomless pits of naked mind. Be not afraid to take a peek into my mind, because only in this place and time, within the fine line, will you find a peace of mind, and you will then be able to flow it free. Now, leave me.
This is the D Poetry Spot.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Poetry Spot, your host, Poetic Lace. How you doing?
Hit the
What's
button.
Good? What's good? You know what? We're going to get
you.
Glory to God.
So what do you have in store for us today?
All right, so today I decided to be, because I knew it was going to be keeping it real all day. I decided to be, I want to do something sweet and nice. So I actually wrote, right before the show, I wrote a little sweet little poem, you know, for all the couples out there. Something, you know, something sweet.
So
I didn't
sweet.
Title it because I wrote it today, so I don't, but you know, maybe you can give me a title when we're done, but it's really sweet and it's quick. All right. If I could buy you the world, I still wouldn't do it. You're more than those things people throw away after they screw it. What I want to give is love and attention, ears that listen. Whenever you get hungry, just know that I'm in the kitchen. Whenever times get dark, just know we still going to glisten. Whenever girls come around, just know there ain't no slipping. They say I'm tripping, or maybe I started sipping. Talking about this love, turn them red, and I'm cripping. Hate for no reason. The Bible says there's a season, a time for peace, and a time to act for treason. I'm really believing that God put you in my life. So trials and tribulations I'll endure to make you my wife. But wait, let me clear the air. You come second after God. His will for us is something we must do. You know, staying on our job. Different is what we are. You know, kind of odd. But we know who we are in Christ, so there's no ID fraud. Far from perfect, but you're perfect for me. I couldn't pray for a better person that can make me happy. So let me close as the Lord knows. I'm going to strive to do my best so that my love shows. So sweet.
That's the title, Love Show. Show me love.
Let me write that down.
Show me love.
Show me love.
Show me love. You know what? We're going to show my man, Poetic Lace, some love here on the Poetry Spot. I mean, definitely got to start off with this. Because you're the bomb, and it ain't that good. Yes.
Thank you.
They say you're the bomb, and you're the best. You know, that's dope. Now, we have a couple of songs that you actually done. One is called Pledge Allegiance. Can you tell us a little bit about Pledge Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance is basically straight up my pledge. I feel like I rewrote the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, I pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America. Cool. But I want to tell y'all where I pledge to. And this is the new Pledge of Allegiance thing.
Awesome.
So, with no further ado.
Pledge. All right.
Will everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? We have Poetic Lace, whoever's performing it. Go ahead, Lace.
They say
time is money, but money can't be on my mind. It's God first, man, that's more than just a rhyme. Saying that's not true is more than just a crime. And if you feel that's what it is, then you just wasting your time. My own shadow can't even block my shine. If you want my team, step out of bounds, you won't apply. Straight starters, Amari and Knickerbockers. Amaze the world like we were the Globetrotters. My goal, save souls and do it whole. Demons fall, then tie them up with gold. The cross on my chest is more than showing that I'm blessed. It's to show if I fail a test, I won't be stressed. Jesus Christ, my Savior, already paid a price. Since talking cheap, watch my Savior, he can pay that twice. We ain't broke over here, God is holy rich. So if you wanna strike me out, try a faster pitch. I'm hitting curveballs, fastballs, and screws too. Hate on God, it ain't not for me to slide you. Kinda aggressive, I know, I'm just talking pro. But for the game, I pledge to God just to let him know. I pledge allegiance to my God, the only God. This a full-time job, my only job. I'm grinding, I'm working, I do this from the heart. I used to ride a bench, now it's time for me to start. I pledge allegiance to my God, the only God. This a full-time job, my only job. I'm grinding, I'm working, I do this from the heart. I used to ride a bench, now it's time for me to start. I'm about to beat the beater like it was a punching bag. Riding through the temple like I was pushing the jack. Verses, hooks, I get them from the Lord. I won't make a move unless God is the boy. I gotta do this right, you won't lose it one life. Married to the spirit, yes, that's my new wife. The voice in the center was kicking like a jam. Jackie said, you know, Brucey Fran. Don't have a car, man, I'm feeling like my name's Bot. Just take your right hand and place it on your beating heart. It's so simple, dick, get like a dipper. You can keep it moving, break it like a pipper. My mental blasting something like a pistol. Bullet thoughts explode just like a missile. Christ in my head, I can't forget the fact he bled. So instead, I'm on my knees and the Lord's pledge. I pledge allegiance to my God, the only God. This a full-time job, my only job. I'm grinding, I'm working, I do this from the heart. I used to ride a bitch, now it's time for me to start. I pledge allegiance to my God, the only God. This a full-time job, my only job. I'm grinding, I'm working, I do this from the heart. I used to ride a bitch, now it's time for me to start. Yes, sir. You may now be seated. This is what happens when silence falls. Be late.
Okay. I see you. I hear you. That's dope. You know what? You know what? That's dope. Now, tell us about Broken Wings.
Broken Wings, actually had a play before on the show, but Broken Wings is actually my heart spilled out straight up. This is what I've been through. And in order for us to really get to where we want to be, we got to confess it. Confess, really tell the Lord this is what it is. And also, I wanted to play today basically an apology for, well, I'll go more into it. So you play the song and then I'll say afterwards.
All right, here it is, Broken Wings.
It's so hard to fly when your wings are broken. I guess it's hard to see God when you're so blind. You still gotta look for that light though. Tell them Nova.
I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation. Lord, so that I may fly away. I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation. Lord, so that I may fly away.
Boy, I'm trapped in enigma. I'm at the kind of jail asking
thinking while you pull the trigger. It must have been confusion from the blunts and the liquor. Seeing you in here only makes me get sicker. I'm mad, I'm pissed, I'm something like a bladder. Most my dogs slip when I started up the ladder. We were close friends, but you never helped my struggle. It was mostly criticizing, pointing out my troubles. Don't get it wrong, the love was there. But in my heart, I couldn't really say you care. That's like the women came around trying to get paid. But in the end, every single one felt played. No PS3, Nintendo, we are Xbox. That's so ironic, cause the game don't stop. I can remember every girl that I slept with. But I wish I could forget that we did it.
I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation. I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation. So that I may fly away.
Yes, so has to go on. My brother's been praying that he just holds on. My mom's been praying that my brother comes home. The streets ain't really what you wanna call home. It's like times get hard. The harder we grow, we growing hard. So what else do we know? It's a hard night life, and I had to live it twice. So many mistakes, but God still treats me nice. I'm wondering and pondering, thinking and blinking. Keep a sober mind. Far from drinking, I gotta do it. Crabs in the pipe, they tryna pull me down. Cause the water ain't hot, the water ain't scratching, the water ain't touching. These crabs are deceitful, cause they know what's approaching. Step around the corner, please pull me out of terror. I'm only 23, but I know the pallbearer.
I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation. Oh, Lord, so that I may fly. For the right direction, I'm searching for the road of salvation, so that I may fly away.
Waking up in the morning, I got a sad surprise. I lost my closest homie to a game of homicide. We in a city where you see the skinny dudes die. It's important that we pray just to keep by. I'm at his funeral, his mom is crying on my shoulder. They had my blood flowing slow and now my heart's colder. So I invested in some heat in case I have to teach. Then I heard, grab your Bible, keep that in your reach. Lord, pardon my mistakes, I had to play my hand. No spades, hearts of diamonds, such a tragic hand. So I went to the clubs looking for some love. Never realized all the wildest God that I shoved. God is good, man, I promise you can make it through. Bow down, confess Christ, is what you have to do. It's nothing to it, speak your heart, shouldn't feel shook. If you don't know what to say, just repeat the hook.
I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation. Oh, so that I may fly away. I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation.
Okay. Now, wow. That's dope. That's dope.
Glory to God.
So you told everybody that you was gonna go on a little depth about that one. Go ahead and explain.
Well, I'm gonna have to say that for another time because aren't we at our close?
What's that?
Well, aren't we on our time?
We're good. 30 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. We have 30 minutes left.
Oh, man. I wouldn't even rush it. I would have said it before the song played.
It's all good.
It sucks. It's all good. All right. Well, good. That's good, though. So basically, I wanted to do an open apology because I wasn't able to contact everybody, but I want to do an open apology. The Lord revealed something to me. Recently, my Broken Wings, which is that song there, is getting a lot of buzz everywhere. I'm getting a lot of buzz, glory to God. But that song in particular was just played on a radio show. And this radio show is they're known for having hosts such as Russell Simmons and Spike Lee, Carnell West, like big-time hosts and everything like that. And I was promoting the show. You know, I wanted all my followers, supporters, fans, family, listeners, everybody to really tune in and, you know, listen to the show.
And on this particular night that the show was played, I don't really listen to any radio shows that my song is played on or anything like that, nor do I listen to the shows I get interviewed. But this particular show, for some reason, I listened while I was working on production for this film we're getting ready to release. And I'm listening to the show, and I heard the music that was played on the show. And the music, I don't want to knock anybody at all because, I got friends that are still in the secular, that's doing secular music. I don't even like to separate it like that. But when y'all hear me say secular music, I'm talking about music that truly glorifies Satan's works, straight up, hands down. Well, anyway, the music was, I'm just give y'all an example of what's going on. I'm not even calling anybody out. But Broken Wings, my song, I'm always going to be, for the most part, I'm always the only gospel artist that's played on certain shows. And on this particular show, I was getting played amongst, Rick Ross, Lil Wayne, Drake, Waka Flocka, 2 Chainz. That's who I'm getting played among. So anyway, every song that I heard was money, sex, drugs, killing. Every single song, and every single song back to back to back. And, Broken Wings comes on or whatever. But the first night, they didn't play Broken Wings when they said they were going to play it because they had a problem with the radio station's playlist and everything. So they just played a repeat playlist. But they played it the next night. But I'm apologizing to all my fans and supporters and everybody for those who actually did tune into that show that, as a shepherd, as a leader, I led you right into danger because I'm aware that there are people that follow me that are straddling the fence, that are like, not 100% over with the faith yet or that are really still fighting demons and everything like that. I'm understanding that. And I'm sorry that I put you in danger to allow, because music, regardless of what field it is, it's all ministry. It's all trying to get a message to you, whether it's trying to get you a lustful song, if it's trying to make you think about sex, or if it's trying to make you think about God, or if it's trying to make you think about money, or if it's trying to inspire you. Regardless of what the song is, it's still ministering to your soul. And I led a lot of people, supporters, into a pit. Because, man, that whole night, man, it was ministering death, and I'm sorry for that. And that's why I really wanted to play the song on this show. I'm really believing a lot of people didn't catch it. I hope they didn't. But if they did, this is an open apology. We make mistakes. And I feel like me being transparent as a leader is very important to show that, I'm not above anybody. And I'm liable to make mistakes as well. And I've been through some stuff, too. So it's like, to see me persevere, I'm hoping that it's encouragement to someone else, and also to see that I'm open to take responsibility for my wrongs. I'm hoping that it shows anybody that, you can take responsibility to learn that you're liable at making mistakes as well. So
exactly. That's
definitely what I wanted to share.
Wow. This song is absolutely, it's a great song. Definitely a great song. Very talented, ladies and gentlemen. But I have one question. Let's find out. Are you talented at picking the winners of these football games? And so, ladies and gentlemen, before we go in to our closing, we're going to go into the actual games that have been played already. And we're going to see if your team won today. Let's start off with the opening. Like I said last week, we're going to definitely, cover some of the NFL here on the show because people like sports. People like the NFL. I'm a fan of the NFL. I'm a fan of the Detroit Lions. Let's find out if they won. We're also going to find out if Jacksonville won. What happened with Maurice, man? He held out. I'm not dissing him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he held out for more money. He came back with no money. He came back when he held out for no reason. He didn't get what he wanted. But however, he's still back in action. He's still a great football player. But, these guys, we talked about these, sports figures earlier, entertainers and stuff. They have a lot on their plate. And although on the surface, I know I'm joking, but although on the surface it looked like he was holding out and he came back with nothing, he was really trying to get what he was worth because they wasn't paying him what he was worth.
Right.
So he was like, look, man, I'm carrying the team to this point and I deserve more, and I think he deserved more because he's definitely a great running back. So let's go ahead and get into this and find out the winners and the losers of today's NFL games. First of all, opening the kickoff started on this past Thursday, which featured Dallas and the New York Giants. Dallas won 24 to New York Giants 17. Now we're going to move up to today. Our games for today, Chicago 41 over Indiana. Man, 21. Andrew Luck didn't have any luck today. He didn't. He was out of luck. Philadelphia Eagles over the Cleveland Browns 17-16. Detroit Lions, which is my favorite, 27 to 23 over St. Louis. Houston over Miami 30-10. Atlanta won in a big way as well over Kansas City 40-24. Minnesota over Jacksonville 26-23. Washington surprised the NFL today, beating the New Orleans Saints 40-32. Wow, I didn't see that coming. I really didn't. Even the Jets won today. Not saying they're horrible, but they trashed them in preseason. But however, they beat Buffalo in a big way, 48-28. And then, of course, New England, they on their path as usual, and they played Tennessee today, and they beat them 34-13. Now we have three games underway with the Seattle and Arizona right now. Arizona is winning 10-3. Green Bay is playing San Francisco right now. San Francisco is winning 10-7. Tampa Bay is beating Carolina 13-0 right now. Those three games are in the second quarter. I can't believe some of the games today that these are a lot of upsets. I didn't see Tampa Bay coming out doing that to Carolina. Now, there's some important games coming up. One more game that I want to see. Well, I will be out and about. I do have a show tonight. Well, however, Denver is playing Pittsburgh. Who's going to win that one? I got Denver on that one. You know, Pittsburgh's defense is not what it used to be. You know, they used to be called the Iron Curtains. Yeah. I say they are the Shower Curtains right now because they're getting up in age and they can't handle what they used to handle. So I got Denver winning that game because Peyton Manning is back. And he's definitely a monster. So he's back in action. And tomorrow there are two games, Cincinnati and Baltimore and San Diego and Oakland. Cincinnati, Baltimore, I take both of those games are a toss-up. Baltimore is good. Cincinnati is a decent team. And I can easily see them upsetting, but I don't think they're going to win because they're in Baltimore. And I think Baltimore is going to hold them down. And then Oakland, San Diego, they have a really nice defense, so I think they're going to be soft in Oakland tomorrow evening. So that's the sports for today here on the Covenant Cafe. I'm your host, Lamont Ferguson, and we have Poetic Lace. And let me tell you.
Before you close, we're
not going to close, but I just got to. I have to give my favorite sound effect. So earlier I was saying you're the bomb and I make this the sound effect. But a lot of teams today they bombed. Yeah, they bombed. I'm sorry. There you go, bro. That's an NFL rap, bro. You had something to say. What did you have to say?
Okay. So I want to know why. Because when you said it to you, it was like DC's win today is like it shocked the NFL. I was looking at my Twitter feed before we got online because I was tweeting, the show, this and that. And I saw people tripping. I was like, man. Redskins fans, they act like they just won a Super Bowl. It's not that big deal. Like, people are mad. People are really going hard about this.
We're going to cover this right here. The thing with Washington and New Orleans right now, they had a lot of trouble at the end of, actually in the offseason, this past year because they were fine the bounty hunting. So they was out their head coach. Now, to open up the season without your head coach, with those allegations, was supposed to electrify this group, make them go out to prove that, look, man, we're not doing stuff like that, man. We're not the bad guys. And, you know, they had something to prove. And then on the other side of the ball, you have Washington. You have RG3, which is a young rookie, a black quarterback. And they didn't expect this young rookie quarterback to do what they did to New Orleans, and, you know, and Drew Brees and company. So they didn't expect that to happen in New Orleans, as a matter of fact. Now, I think if it was in D.C., you know, FedEx Field, if it was there, it would have been different. I think it would have been such a shock. But on the other hand, by it being in New Orleans, you know, New Orleans, they have a great team. Not to say Washington don't have a great team, but they're being led by a rookie quarterback into a camp that has all these allegations, that has a lot to prove. And their quarterback Drew Brees, he's absolutely a phenomenal quarterback. So for them to stop them and the way that they did, I mean, it didn't come down to like a field goal, that changed that whole stat. If it came down to a field goal, then, like, oh, man, they won by the skin of their teeth. But they won by 8 points. And it was a high-scoring game, 40-32. You know, that's definitely in a big way. So I think that's why everybody is tripping. And that's why I'm tripping, because I'm looking at these guys like, wow, are you serious? But then again, like I said, you know, this is the first game. And a lot of teams are notorious for having a great start and fizzling at the end. You know what I mean? Yeah, like definitely. We talked about earlier, you know, it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish.
Right.
Are these guys going to finish in the Super Bowl? Are they going to finish, you know, are they going to make the playoffs? What's going to happen with this team? Will RG3 be able to carry his team into the playoffs his first year? You know, Peyton Manning's first year, you know, his record was 13 and, I mean, excuse me, his record in his first year was 3-13. You know, when he led his team. So it's a very tough starting off, man. So we'll see.
Right.
We'll see if it go down. Man, and Jacksonville, I don't know what to say about those guys.
Yeah, it's a lot. I know.
It's all good. But before we close, we're going to go into another song. And this is called Mike Willis. And it's the perfect song for you NFL fans that your team went down in a dump today. And the name of the song is called Stay Positive. Here on the Covenant Cafe, your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Stay Positive by Mike Willis.
Everybody put your hands together on this one like this. We just want you to keep smiling out there. Keep a happy face. Stay positive in the midst of your tests and your trials. Let's take it, y'all.
Sometimes life can make you feel alone.
You need some direction. You need to know where to go. Come on. Giving up, just when you feel like thrown in the towel, God's presence. You ain't on your own. Come on, stay positive. Ready to answer.
Waiting to answer your call.
So
be all over.
It will be all over.
Just keep a smile and stay positive.
Stay positive.
Let's take it to the drive, y'all. Come on. Be strong.
Be confident that better days are coming.
And, you know, the thing is, which is so powerful to me, a lot of times us as Christians, as saints, as believers, it's like we do a lot for the kingdom of God, whether it be go out our way to help somebody, to give somebody money, to, you know, to be a kind, a good person in Jesus Christ's name. We do a lot of this stuff, and we don't always see the reward immediately. Mm-hmm. We don't always see, like, dang, like, I'm trying. And we don't see any benefits of trying to do the right thing. It just that's the truth of the matter. But I'm here to speak and to console you, saying that we serve a God who's not unjust, and he has not forgot the things you've done in his name. So we have to persevere. We have to be confident that better things are coming concerning us. You know, we go through a lot of ups and downs, a lot of painful things, a lot of chastising, a lot of correction throughout the days. But let's still remain confident that our works and our labor is not in vain. You know, and it's important that we continue to show that hope, because the word is saying that, you know, in that diligence, the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those through faith and patience that inherit the promise. So we have to, you know, we can't start to die down or get weak because of the beating that we've been taking throughout the weeks. We got to continue to be confident, knowing that better days are coming, because we got people that's watching us. You know, mm-hmm. Ramon, if you were to all of a sudden, if you were to come on not up-tempo and to be sad and, you know, just whatever, then our listeners, your following, the people who's coming to your show tonight, they're going to be just like, you know, then what? If this man, he was on fire for God one day, now he ain't really caring. You know, what am I to believe in now? Where is my hope at? You know, so us as believers, as saints, as those who are in the Word, and we got people who are coming to the Word, we're supposed to be strong to keep them motivated. We have to be confident that our better days are coming, that our labor, our work has not went in vain.
You know what? I was that's definitely important. And our better days is always coming. It's definitely coming. You know, like, just like, you know, that whole thing of the way you start is not the way you start, it's the way you finish. I actually was going through Facebook just a second ago, and a friend of mine's and like I said, things happen for a reason, okay?
Right.
And everything sometimes always has an attachment to something else. Just like we don't go over the scripture for the week, we end up talking about things that lead into the scripture that has everything to do with the scripture. And
right.
This young lady says, she has a picture of the fortune cookie little saying, and it says, "Do not give up. The beginning is always the hardest." Don't give up. The beginning is always the hardest. And that is absolutely true. This way today, the beginning of our show was the hardest part of the show. You know, working through the technical difficulties, it was very difficult to work through that situation. But that was the hardest part of our show today. After that, once we got through it, you know, it just rolled on. You know, and that applies to everything, especially accepting Christ into your life. The beginning is always going to be the hardest part. Because you're going from whatever your situation is, whether you're going to the strip clubs or whether it's not even that serious, whether it's hanging around the wrong group and they always get into trouble.
Right.
The beginning is going to be hard. It's going to be, you know, they're going to be like, "Hey, man, let's go hang out at Applebee's and get some drinks," which I always do. And then now you have to say, "Man, I'm not going to go today." You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, you got to start making that walk. And then as you get along further in your walk, you may be able to go to Applebee's and be like, "Look, man, I'm not going to drink. I'm just going to have some appetizers and I'm get some soda or, you know, some water." But the beginning is always going to be harder. Just like those people have trying to quit smoking. And whatever bad habit that you have, the beginning is definitely going to be the hardest. You know, so it's just ironic that I ran into that phrase. That's just
Yeah.
And just the way it ties into what we were talking about.
Right. And what's even powerful, as you were talking, God gave a revelation to me. So this is definitely a message for somebody that's listening. We measure our beginnings differently. So example, this is encouraging for somebody, a business. They say to start your own business, the first 2 years are the hardest. And the first 2 years are the beginning. But if you think about on a yearly thing, people consider their beginnings to be the first 2 months, first 3 months, when mm-hmm. actually a beginning of a business is that first 2 years. Once you get through the first 2 years, then everything starts clicking, if you make it. Most businesses fail within the first 2 years. So what I'm basically saying is that we often measure our beginnings differently. Like the beginning, being young, people think a beginning might be the first 2 years of life, when the beginning could be your first up until you turn 16, till you're a legal driver. You know what I mean? We measure it differently. So the thing is, you can have a rough beginning as a business owner, can be your first 2 years, and you have to persevere. So just because you don't see income coming in as great as you thought it would be within your first year, that doesn't mean get up, because you're still in your beginning stages, which is statistically showing that the first 2 years are the establishment years, which are your grind periods. But if you make it through that first 2 years, you start to coast through more. You know, so that's
exactly.
The thing, that you might have a rough beginning, but you got to persevere to get through that beginning.
Exactly. And also on that note, though, I always look at statistics as things that statistics mean it's always ever changing.
Yes, true. Very
now,
true. Very true.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, yes, this is true. The stats say, I always have a problem saying that word, but the stats say that the first 2 to 3 years are your rough period. Well, however, mm-hmm. that determines on what you could consider your success in that business to
exactly.
be. Now,
exactly.
if the success is to say, hey, I used to work a day job, two full-time jobs, and try to run my business on a part-time level, and now you're able to run that business on a full-time scale, then that is your success. That
Amen.
Might take,
yeah.
you know, that might take 1 to 2 years. That might take 6 months. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
True. I agree. Definitely.
And I'm not knocking what you're saying, but it's just that.
No, I agree.
Yeah. So, so depending on what your success may be, hey, I want to make $50,000 with my business by the end of this year. That might not happen. That might happen in next year. So, like I said, it really depends on what your success is. For me, to go and do this thing full time will be my success. As long as I break even enough to take care of my family, that is my success. As long as I'm able to pay my bills, that's my success.
That's powerful stuff, sir.
If I reach a certain point and I'm able to just to max out, like, oh man, I'm good now, then I accept that. But as long as I get to the point where, you know, my goal is, okay, look, I want to act right and direct full-time and do this thing full-time, along with doing radio full-time, that will be my success.
Mm.
And at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, I've been doing it for a while. So by the time I reach that point, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that would actually almost go along with the statistics, but that might not be your stats. You might like, okay, I want to start selling Avon. Your first year, you might be the top seller of the year. You know what I mean?
You might be the top seller of the year. Amen.
Good you know what I mean? So that's that, ladies and gentlemen. And once again, you know, I definitely enjoy our show today. Although we had a rough beginning. It's not about how you start, it's about how you finish.
How you finish.
And ladies and gentlemen, you know, we didn't have our typical interviews, but we definitely had a good time here today on this show. And you were absolutely right, Lace. We didn't have time for that song. But however, well, next week we're definitely going to try to get the song back on the show. We definitely enjoyed you guys. Here on the Covenant Cafe, you definitely have a good week. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
This is the outro, so long, farewell. This ain't goodbye forever, but only time will tell. We had some funny moments, real talking interviews. Every Sunday, 7:30 Eastern time we do this. Build you up, encourage you. This is the D-Hour Show, feel free to come on through. Lamont Ferguson, Poetic Lacey's are the hosts. From the east to the west, we rock at coast to coast. The Covenant Cafe, yeah, that is the name. We repping Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're unashamed. He died so we can live. So I'm steady boasting. I think that calls for cheers. So I'm steady toasting. What's up, D Slade? That's the CEO. He's tapping on the glass. I guess it's time to go. So let me close with these words so I can keep it meek. Thanks for stopping by. Hope to see you next week.